We are really cooking with gas today. I don't want the governor to know that, but we're cooking with gas. That may be banned in Massachusetts if the Democrats have their way. No Democrat, though, although we got a lot of votes from Democrats and worked with them as well. Tom Hodgson joins me here in the studio now. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Chris. Great to be here.
You done with your Christmas shopping yet, Tom?
I'm about three quarters.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm not a procrastinator. I mean, years ago when I had a lot of things going on, but now I can be on top of it.
Retirement suits you. Good. Yeah. Retirement suits you. You are enjoying
retirement. Yeah. I get to work with you and of course on the no campaign and things like that. So
yeah, no, you're full, and you got the grandkids.
Yeah, it's all good.
You got the house over there and the Azores Eye. Listen, you, my friend, you got a full life. It's really true, and I'm glad for you. A lot of stuff going on, Tom. We've got an article here in the New Bedford Light. One of the reasons I brought you in today, I played this the other day for my audience, but I thought this needs some attention, some expertise from the man who the migrant advocates had to get out of office, in my opinion. The billionaire class that wants to lower working people's wages by importing foreign labor who will compete against Americans and depress their wages. The man they had to get out of office, Tom Hodgson. I want you to discuss this because you know the players on Beacon Hill regarding illegal immigration. One of the big ones is Tony Cabral, but all the entire delegation is somehow involved in advocating for the migrants, the illegal aliens, even gave him driver's licenses. Not your cousin. He didn't. But, Tom, I'm going to play a little bit of this article. The robot's going to read it from the New Bedford Light. It's a really good article. Again, I don't always agree with the New Bedford Light, but I do think that Kevin Andrade over there, the journalist, covers this really well. He's got a particular point of view, but so do I and so do you. They're entitled to that. But you're going to get an opportunity to hear a little bit of the article from the robot. I think you'll get the gist of it. And then if you want, you can just go to New Bedford Light and play the whole article or read it yourself.
I've never heard anybody refer to you as a robot.
I don't read this thing, Tom. The robot reads it. All right, folks, stick around. We got Tom Hodgson in till noon, and we're going to talk all about illegal immigration, President Trump, the governor's race, what the governor's doing, where is that report? We got a lot to talk about, Tom. We're going to go to the robot now from newbedfordlight.org.
Advocates testify on Beacon Hill in support of bills that protect immigrants. By Kevin G. Andrade. Boston, hundreds of advocates from across the state gathered at the State House Tuesday to testify in support of a series of bills that would better protect immigrants and strengthen immigration laws. The advocates gathered under the banner of a new group, Protect Our Massachusetts, to testify at the Senate Judiciary Committee and Joint Committee on Public Safety and Homeland Security. The group is spearheaded by the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, MIRA, Brazilian Worker Center, American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts, Massachusetts Teachers Association, the Jewish Alliance for Law and Social Action, and several chapters of the Service Employees International Union. We stand here today because it is our shared responsibility not only for the sake of immigrant families' humanity, said Gilberto Calderon, MIRA Director of Advocacy, at a news conference before the hearings began, but for the safety and survival of every one of us to ensure that the laws in Massachusetts protect all of us. The advocates pointed to the mass deportation campaign, launched shortly after President Donald Trump entered the White House on January 20th, as the motivation for the move. We are living in unprecedented times, said Laura Rotolo, Senior Advocacy Director for Field Initiatives at the Massachusetts ACLU. The levels of violence and destruction in our community are unprecedented. There is no one thing that one person can do that's going to stop the mass deportation plan, but it must begin here, she continued. There is much that our state can do. Among the advocates speaking was Marcelo Gomez da Silva, a Milford teen detained by ICE on his way to volleyball practice in May. His detention prompted a tour of the ICE Boston field office in Burlington by Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton and Jake Auchincloss. His was among the many stories that brought to light the poor conditions of detainees held at the facility well beyond the 48 hours it was meant to. People shouldn't be scared every day of being taken by ICE for no reason at all, he said. One thing that is true is that immigrants alone will not be able to fight against the government.
So that's
thousands of immigrants in Massachusetts have been detained since then.
So that's an illegal immigrant, okay? Using the language of violence, all right? He says, that's a child too as well. He was a high school student who says illegal immigrants shouldn't be afraid of ICE for no reason at all. Well, they're illegal aliens. And then he says illegal aliens cannot fight the federal government alone. Using the language of violence and revolution in our capital? Tom, what do you think of that?
Well, first of all, let's just start with what you just said about what he said. No illegal immigrant should be afraid of ICE.
Right.
That's like you and me going to Mexico and saying, you know what? There's no reason why we should be afraid of law enforcement in Mexico, right? We're not supposed to be here, but right. We shouldn't have to be afraid of them.
Right.
Well, you don't have to be afraid of them. Don't come here illegally,
right. Number one.
Number two, when you listen to the beginning of that tape and you hear what this woman is saying about, you know, that there was testimony on Beacon Hill around protecting immigrants. No. It's protecting illegal immigrants.
Yes.
And we're not stupid, right? This is what they've done. The legislature's done this going back to the earliest days. And I had immigration detention for my whole 25 and a half years that I was sheriff. And built that immigration detention facility in Dartmouth. And every time they would try, first they tried driver's licenses for illegals. Then it was family to work licenses. They kept changing the names because they were trying to make it appealing to the American people. And it's just the same mental conditioning that goes on.
Right.
On a regular basis. Let's just change the verbiage and keep repeating it, and maybe it'll be softer and the people that we're talking to that we're supposed to be representing will buy into it. And that's what the legislature's been doing here in Massachusetts for a long time. I remember that group, Myra, they came up and protested me when I was having a meeting at that time. Andrea Cabral, I think, was the Secretary of Public Safety under Deval Patrick. And they were putting kids down at the base on the Cape. Right. And they were going to house them there. And they said, well, we're going to provide them education they're only going to be there a month, but we'll provide them schooling. Well, number one, you got people coming from all different cultures, speaking different languages that are here illegally. How are you going to set up an education system for a month that's going to benefit any of them?
Right.
This is all the kind of garbage that they keep throwing out there as though they're doing good things for people. But let's not forget what they're saying. Pay attention, all of us, to the words they're using. It keeps saying immigrants. We're not talking about immigrants.
Right.
We're an immigrant nation and we love immigrants.
Yes.
Right? That come here legally.
Yes.
And if they wanted, and they talked about the laws changing and new laws. You want that? Go down to Congress and tell these members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who haven't done anything about changing the laws, increase the number of people. If we need more people to come here to work, then increase the amount of people that can come by changing the immigration laws. Other than that, don't sit there, members of Congress, and go, you know, we're going to ignore the law, and then we're going to go with this narrative of these are only immigrants coming in here, and we shouldn't be doing this to them, and yada, yada, yada.
We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio. Tom, you were telling me off air, our governor, Maura Healey, who many people in this audience voted for, maybe even one of us in the studio.
that would not be me.
just for the record. Older and wiser.
Just for the record.
Older and wiser. Now I am, right? But anyway, she is going to, well, tell them what she's doing. The game she's playing with SNAP now, food stamp benefits for American citizens. Tell them what she's doing.
Well, she's pulling her typical Maura Healey, push it through the political filter kind of argument. Mm-hmm. She's saying, you know, the federal government's saying, look, we have found all kinds of fraud mm-hmm. in 29 states who have said to us, we've asked them to meet the requirement of USDA statistics that we need to find out, Are you checking for these people who have SNAP benefits? Are you checking to make sure that they're legal, that they're legally here, that they're proper identities, and whatever the basic requirements are? 29 out of the 50 states said, we absolutely will provide you that information. That was a requirement now to cut out the fraud. They found all kinds of fraud in those 29 states. And guess what? They're all red states. And all those red states have said, yeah, we want to cooperate because we don't want the waste, and we owe it to the taxpayer to make sure we're not giving out money that shouldn't be given out by the billions. Guess what? There's 21 states that won't do it. Surprise, surprise. They're all blue states. And guess what? Mara Healey, again, is at the helm, kicking the you-know-what out of Trump, saying that, you know, he's wrong, he shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, you know what? He's representing us, and you're not. And that's what's been going on with Mara Healey's woke left-wing agenda.
By the governor making the executive decision not to provide basic information to the federal government about who is receiving food stamps in the state of Massachusetts, it's possible that the federal government's going to cut off those benefits to everybody in the state of Massachusetts.
Well, not just Massachusetts, those 21 states. They're saying if you're not going to conform to what the rules are and the laws about the USDA requirements to give us the statistics so we know if we're giving you the taxpayers' money, that it's not being done in a fraudulent way, which is what the problem is, that's why these people don't want to do that.
Right.
But, you know, look what's going on in Minnesota with Waltz, J.D. Waltz.
And Mara Healey is using American citizens basically as hostage.
Right. I said J.D. Waltz. I didn't mean that. But that's the problem. What she's doing is she's stonewalling and then trying to blame President Trump for saying he needs. And this happened in the cabinet meeting yesterday. They said, I think it's going to be within a week. If you don't conform, SNAP benefit money is not going to come to those states that will not provide the information that's needed to prevent the continued fraud against the taxpayer.
We have people on hold. We're going to take a break, and then we come back. I want to tell everybody, the New Bedford Police Union is asking for your support while they negotiate for a fair contract. What they're asking for is better education and training programs for their officers, new police equipment and technology, and safe police staffing levels. A lot of that seems like it's good for the public too, right? They can't do this alone. Please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. What I want you to do to get more information is visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page and go to their website. The website is newbedfordpoliceunion.org. This message was brought to you by the brave men and women of the New Bedford Police Union. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. More with Tom Hutch when we come back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Well, a few nights later, I run into her with some stranger on a park bench. She said he rebuilds engines and his name is Earl. He's the Charlie Daniels of the Torque Wrench. I whispered, honey, let's just go on home and have some honey.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Chris McCarthy. You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything, from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. We have the former sheriff of Bristol County, Tom Hodgson, here in the studio. What else are we talking about? illegal immigration, anything that's on your mind as well. Let's go to the phones for the people holding. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good morning, caller.
Not too bad. Well, the day's still young, so anything could happen. So, listen to that robot presentation. One of the things that struck me is, why is the teachers' union get involved in this? I mean, they should be working on education. To me, this is outside of their business, really. You know, I don't understand why they're playing. So I'm a little perturbed about
that.
Well,
the leadership of the teachers' union has been captured by radicals. I mean, that's quite frankly what it is. They're diverting their union dues to political causes that have nothing to do with the health, salaries, and the work conditions of their union members.
That's so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, I agree.
If you know what I mean, because all they're doing is, just spending money any way they feel right. Now, I'll tell you, if I was a teacher, I'd be upset, you know, because look, you know, if it's for my benefit, fine, we have a conversation. But if we're just doing it just because somebody up top of me wants to take my money and do something, I have no say in it. Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, you know, Colin makes a great point. But the thing with teachers, of course, is that they're generally concerned about kids. But
yes,
they also are very responsible when they have the kids with them to have consistency around rules and that kind of thing. As difficult as it might be that these illegal immigrant kids are in the schools, I'm sure many of the teachers probably look at it as though it's not the kids' fault. And I think we all get that, and probably
right,
the caller as well. But the point that what the Teachers Association should be doing is saying, hey, we love kids, we like teaching them, but we can't have a double standard here. Their parents, you need to make sure that these parents, if they're here illegally, that they follow the same rules that all the other parents whose kids are in school, who came here the right way, get a consistent message that we did it the right way. And those who aren't, well, the parents are ultimately responsible, as it is for any situation, whether you're a domestic family or someone that came here either legally or illegally. Parents are responsible for making sure that they're teaching their kids that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things.
Caller?
All right. Well, you gentlemen have a great day.
You too, my friend. Thanks for the contribution to the program. I do appreciate it. You know what's crazy is that the teachers' unions have come a long way for their members. You know, my dad was one of the original members here in Massachusetts. My dad used to tell me about there was a time when teachers weren't unionized.
Right.
When he taught in Fairhaven, there was no union. It was a long time ago. But teachers have really good benefit packages now, really good salary. And most of that is because of the union. But the idea that they're cutting against their members and their fellow workers by importing illegal aliens and defending them. These are the same illegal aliens who are taking jobs from construction workers, jobs from truck drivers, right? When I was a kid, I landscaped in the summer. Everybody had a job like that, right? No jobs like that for kids anymore. Yeah. It's all done by illegal aliens. So anyway, I think that the teachers union will suffer a backlash on this.
Yeah, I do think, Chris, that what they should be doing is saying, you know, I'm talking to teachers in the classrooms who have a heart for kids, regardless mm-hmm. of who they are. They shouldn't be putting those teachers in that position by suggesting that, you know, it's okay to keep coming here illegally, because
right,
that's just going to continue to fill up the classrooms, okay, with people, and it puts the teachers in a bad place. So what the teachers union should say is, no, don't encourage these individuals to come here illegally. We're against that. And you legislators here in Massachusetts and you federal legislators, do your job. Uphold the rule of law. Mm-hmm. It isn't your place to pick and choose who you want to follow it and who you don't. And therein lies the baseline for what I think we all would require. And if that happens, then people, then teachers won't feel so badly about a kid who they know isn't supposed to be here, but they also feel for the child. Don't put the teachers in that position. Kurt,
yes.
Tell people to come here legally. If you don't follow the law, you know there's consequences, right?
Here's the other part. The teachers in Massachusetts, their union has been taken over by radicals. Because most people don't get involved with their union's politics, don't get involved in running for union offices, sure. Just like people don't run for selectmen and planning board and all the other things in city council. And so there was no way there was any sort of ballot taken of the mass of teachers out there, right, to ask them, do you want to support this legislation? No, it was just done, yeah. I'm sure. I could be wrong. I'd stand to be corrected. But I highly doubt the teachers' union took a vote, a Democratic vote, on this political position. It may not be their formula to do it anyway, but I doubt they did. All right, let's go. We got people on hold here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning,
Chris, were you in the National Guard in the late 80s?
No, 90s.
Okay. The only reason I'm bringing it up is I almost fell off my chair yesterday. Jesse Waters on Fox had a 30-second, like a clip, of Joe Biden, Senator Joseph Biden, and Biden's exact words were, we need to get to these drug warlords where they live. And he also said there should be no safe space for narco terrorists. And I was just like flabbergasted to hear them. So I didn't know if you were in the, when that was going on with Manuel Noriega there.
Back I was
in the
there.
80s.
I was there in the early, I was there in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had nothing to do with the invasion. We were sent in afterwards And it was interesting. It was an interesting
right.
country, but we were there. There were a lot of special operations there. I had nothing to do with them. I was just a little military police guy.
George H.W. Bush went in there. He invaded Panama.
Yes.
Noriega was a notorious drug warlord.
Yes.
And it just shocked me to hear Joe Biden speaking like that. Granted, Biden was very lucid. This is in 1989 when he was pretty sharp.
Yes.
And Tom, you can appreciate this. You've been dealing with the fentanyl situation for a long time. You know, the Democrats' answer to fentanyl is we need to open a couple thousand more rehab clinics across the country. Yeah. And Donald Trump's answer is we need to cut the head off the snake.
Right. And what they if they were honest about it, what they'd probably be saying is we need to open more morgues because so many people are dying. You know, 100,000
exactly.
in our country from this fentanyl. And And as to the point about then Senator Biden, it'd be interesting to look at that moment in time, what was going on in the United States, because too often we see in Congress people will take a position based on the moment in time of what they think is going to benefit them, but they may not deep down inside really believe it.
Correct.
And that's the unfortunate thing that we've seen over the course of our lifetimes that. Too many times they'll put their finger in the air and say, which way is the wind going right now? 2 years later, all of a sudden, they got the complete opposite view, and you can just see what's going on in this country right now. It's exactly how it's worked.
Thanks for the call, my friend. 508-996-05. I'm going to get people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hank Turgeon.
Thanks for calling us, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Just you.
Chris, yesterday, I learned my lesson not to call at the end of the show, so I decided to call a little early today so I can get the sheriff's input on this matter. Sheriff, I've been asking the question under this new proposal that Massachusetts legislators are trying to do to change the juvenile age to 21.
Yeah.
Anyone under 21 will be treated as a juvenile. So I asked Chris yesterday, if a person is under the age of 21, they commit a crime, will they be held in a juvenile facility? So before I ask you if you know the answer to that, do you think that jail is a deterrent for some from committing crimes?
Oh, there's no question about it. That's why when I first took over, people didn't like that they started calling me Till of the Hunt because I took the TVs out of the cells and
hard time to auction.
Yeah, shut down the gymnasium, turned it into a religious retreat center. You know, did things where kids didn't have the choice between going to a program. When I say kids, you know, the people that were housed there, going to a program to help themselves or play cards, lift weights, and watch TV. They were going to do, obviously, the part that was most entertaining for them and not make the other choice. So when we took those things away, we started to see, yeah, they started to rehabilitate. They started going to parenting programs. They started getting their GED. We had one of the highest GED rates in the state. I mean, these are all the kinds of things. And your point's a good one, Hank, that yes, it is. It's a deterrent. And
so you took the comforts away from prison life and you made them work and earn their way back into society.
So yeah, I call them distractions.
My question was about someone under 21, would they go into a juvenile facility? Well, I actually did a little research and I found out the answer. Under the current law, there's language in there that states that anyone under 18, if they get they have to serve time, that if they're under 18, they can't serve time in the Massachusetts Correctional Institution Cedar Junction prior to their 18th birthday. The amendment is going to be, and hold your jaws, that it's going to read, any prison owned, operated, administrated, or subject to the control of the Department of Correction included but not limited to, and they go through Cedar Junction, which was already in there. Then they added Norfolk, Concord, Framingham, Bridgewater, Plymouth, Warwick, Massachusetts Correctional Institution, Monroe, I've never even heard of that one, prior to their 21st birthday. So anyone that's just under 21, they're going to be going to either sheriff's departments or juvenile facilities to serve their time. That is insanity, Sheriff. Chris, I hope that we can get some of the elected officials in and we can start hammering on them. It's very creative what they did with this bill because it attacks several different laws that are out there, several different chapters and sections, and they are amending it all, which pushes some of them out to 25 years old. Insane.
Yeah, and I know you know this, Hank, very well from your career, but these kids today are much more violent.
Advanced.
And far more advanced in the criminal elements that they're involved in than back when we were growing up, right?
Because I blame rock and roll, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, but your point's a very good one. Do you want these kids who are much more violent and much more sophisticated in their committing crimes against other people, you want them in a juvenile facility with younger kids?
Where it's comfortable.
Right, and to victimize more people. That's not going to help them. And again, it's the left wing woke sort of attitude around, no, we need to feel sorry for these individuals. Yeah, we feel sorry that they didn't get the guidance that they needed growing up. Okay, we get that. But by putting them in a place that makes them more comfortable, not getting them into a model that holds them accountable, is going to create more problems, not just for them, continued problems, but also problems for other people that may come in contact with them who are in the same facility.
So society. Your point's a good one.
Right.
Society is going to be torn apart.
The other big change that they're doing with this is they're eliminating the numbers in the chapter and sections. They're taking out the age number, 18, 17, and they're changing the language to the age of criminal majority. No more numbers. The age of criminal majority.
Yeah.
Wow, what?
And where are these? You know,
numbers are hard to deal with. They're hard to manipulate.
What we ought to force these legislators to do before they do something so irresponsible is to say, where exactly is your evidence? I mean, real hardcore evidence that shows that this is absolutely the right decision, other than your political agenda.
I blame the Republicans for not fielding candidates, quite frankly.
Well, we need
to build on that. I agree with you, Chris. I agree. But what they're saying is it's because they have someone that's saying that the frontal lobe hasn't developed in these people until their 20s. But yeah, you can go join the military. You can request a sex change without telling your parents in middle school. But yet, you can't know if you're committing a crime.
Right.
All right, that's my rant for the day, gentlemen. Enjoy your weekend, well said. And good job.
Thank you very much, Hank Turgeon. Of course, Hank spent 25 years, I think it is, on the New Bedford Police Department. We'll take a break, Tom, then we'll be back. We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio with us. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
And then ask if you would like a ride. When we pull out of your yard, I'm all day tired. You was laughing at me, I was doing James Dean. You was the prettiest girl I'd ever seen. When you rolled your eyes and twirled my pink fur dice. Well, I ain't first class, but I ain't white trash and wild and
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy, and I'm not white trash either. Neither is Tom Hodgson. All right, 508-996-05. We got a bunch of people on hold, Tom. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Morning, call. So that last caller was Hank was very good. I cringe every time I hear that the legislature wants to change the age of who can go to prison and who can go to juvenile services. One of the major indicators for what type of security one person needs while in prison, for example, whether you go to a maximum security facility or a medium security facility or a minimum security facility, one of the major contributing identifiers for that is in point-based classification, which is the nationally accepted practice and, quite frankly, some of the safest stuff going, is the age of the person. And the younger the person is, the more it contributes to higher security, because there is a plethora of information out there and results and facts that would indicate the younger the offender, the more dangerous they are.
Really?
And here we are. We have Massachusetts lawmakers now going the other way, saying the younger they are, the less dangerous they are, or the less security they're going to need. I can tell you in Massachusetts for a fact, we don't have the physical security facilities to hold folks who are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old who have committed violent crimes. We don't. These juvenile facilities are not designed physically to protect the public. So Hank has a great point, and we need to call in these legislators and see where they're getting their information from.
So I can tell you, caller, you I think you still are, or you've recently retired from the Department of Corrections. But I know that a lot of these legislators around here have met locally with police. But the police that I've talked to, retired, inactive, say they feel very confident that the Democrat legislators are going to do it anyway. They're going to vote with the liberal mindset that they're locked
36
in.
Years, 36 years in Massachusetts prisons, Chris. And I went from classification systems that were not objective, and then we had issues with escapes and violence and beatings and deaths, and we went to point-based classification, objective type. We took objective criteria based on studies, and that's how we determine the security level of offenders. And now they want to just overlook the age part and say that they're less dangerous if they're in this bracket, as opposed to when they actually get sentenced and go to an adult facility, it brings more weight to higher security. It makes no sense. Everyone knows that the younger the offender, the more violent and active they are in prison.
Right.
Hey, caller, first of all, thank you for your service. It's amazing you served that many years in corrections, and it's probably one of the most difficult beats in all of law enforcement, as you well know. And I think the caller makes a great point. These younger offenders are violent people. And what the other point that comes to mind as he's speaking is, how much did they bring in somebody like this caller the legislature. Sit down with a man that's dealt with this firsthand, day in, day out, that knows the business. How much was the commissioner of corrections pulled into this? Although that's more of a political sort of thing, so they may be a little less apt to be as direct. But get the people who know the business and sit with them and say, why shouldn't we do this?
Right.
And hear from them. They know. This caller knows. He's been in the business, and he speaks very well about it.
We call it unbalanced change, which is very, very dangerous. Most of them have no experience in corrections or in law enforcement, and they rely on different professions other than they rely on the mental health clinician or the psychiatrist or some other study, the soft sciences as opposed to the hard science.
And how many of them did you see over your career spend much time in any of these prison facilities to really understand it? I didn't.
Other than the Bridgewater State Hospital, extremely limited.
Yes.
In fact, many, and you know what, even in fact, Sheriff, I met many and worked closely with some who thought just like us, but were overrun.
Yes.
By the other side of the other thought process.
Yeah, but they need to. This is probably one of the most important things that government's responsible for, as you know, but public safety. Why wouldn't you want to be in there regularly talking to people like you and others so that you can make sure that that you're upholding whatever policies are necessary to keep people as safe as possible?
There's only one reason for that, and they're really not interested in public safety. It's about votes.
You got it.
It's politics.
You hit the nail on the head, caller. You hit the nail on the head.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for the contribution program. I do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Tom Hodge when we come back. Stick around. Chris McCarthy, that's Randy Travis. You know, the same guy who wrote that stupid song, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy, also wrote that great song. So it's funny out there how songwriters are and all of that stuff. And they create what is to me a classic song is to another person not so good. So anyway, we have Tom Hodgson here in the studio with us. So, Tom, you've been very involved in the Republican Party for years. We have a governor's race coming on. You've met all three of the candidates now. You've made a selection who you think would be the strongest nominee for the party to fix the state of Massachusetts. Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I think all three individuals are really top-notch people.
So do I, yeah.
But from my perspective, as I had a chance to talk with the three of them, I found that Mike Minogue was in my view, the strongest candidate to bring Massachusetts back. He's got, as we've talked about before, he's a graduate of West Point. He was a lieutenant, headed up a platoon during Desert Storm. I think he did two tours there, and Bronze Star recipient. He works, he's a billionaire.
Yes.
Because over 19 years, he developed a company that they ultimately designed a heart pump that's the size of the point of a pencil. So you don't have to cut people open anymore.
Right.
They can do it through a catheter. And it was a huge breakthrough, which brought him the success he's enjoying. His wife and he are very supportive of children. They started the foundation. Where they invest a lot of their money in helping young kids in education, and a guy. So when you have somebody that's really got that kind of a foundation in the background, he's not interested in the politics. He's always prepared. I had a meeting with the fishing industry, and for an hour and a half, as they're talking and he's asking questions, he's constantly taking notes about the issues that are important.
Mike Minogue. There's two other candidates in the race. Take a look at him. I'm going to, hopefully they'll be around a few more times. I know they will be before the convention, and hopefully people will be delegates. Tom, I appreciate you coming in. I really do.
Thanks for having me.
You're such a good friend to me. And guys, what I want you to do is stay around for Barry. I was talking to Barry during the breaks. He's got a hell of a show planned for you this morning. So, this afternoon, rather. So stick around. I'm going across the